Good morning. We're on. This is good.
Yeah.
So my name is Patrick. I just want to start off. I get excited every time we come to Sierra Vista. There's just something special about Sierra Vista, and there's definitely something special about the Shiloh Church here. I love this area. You guys are so supportive of Teen Challenge, and it just. It's refreshing every time we come out here. I just love it. My name's Patrick. I'm from Tucson. I'm 32. I started using drugs when I was 16 years old. I started off with marijuana, graduated to cocaine, and before I knew it, I was over here at a boarding school outside of Sierra Vista for about a year. I got out of there and continued to struggle. I found out about Teen Challenge through my father. I was not a Christian. I grew up in a Christian home, but I didn't really believe in God. I went to public school, and I just really didn't know what church was about or what God was about. And when my dad referenced Teen Challenge and mentioned it to me, you know, I thought, hey, that's kind of crazy. I'm not a teenager anymore. And he said, no, I think it's for adults too. So I called the intake coordinator and I was like, hey, I'm interested in coming into this program. You know, what's it about? And he said, oh, you know, why don't you come down here? We can tour the facility and, we can go from there. I was like, oh, do you have AA meetings? Do you have groups, this and that? He's like, no, we don't really do that. And at the time, that was confusing to me. From the outside looking in to a non-Christian, Teen Challenge is an unconventional program. We don't do Narcotics Anonymous. We don't do AA. We just have one step, and that is Jesus Christ. I didn't have any experience with Jesus before coming in. But when I got there, I was like, man, this is crazy. These people really think that I can just, you know, cry out to God and read the Bible and I'm going to be better. I'm not going to use heroin anymore. And sure enough, I figured, you know, hey, I got to give it a shot. So one night, in my bunk at Teen Challenge, I cried out to God. I said, God, I don't know what I'm doing in this life, but I feel like I ended up here in this program because you want me here. And if you're real, I need you to touch my life. And it was almost like Jesus came into that bunk with me and touched my life from that very moment. I've honestly never been the same since. Teen Challenge is a 13-month program. We represent the Tucson Center, which is the first phase. We kind of separate the curious from the serious. It's 4 months long, and people come in broken, just like I was. They have no hope. It's usually their last shot at getting clean. Most people that have come into Teen Challenge have tried other facilities, usually ones that you pay for. And other facilities are very expensive. Some of them are up to $5,000 a day just for one day to stay in that center, which makes getting help almost impossible for most people on drugs. Who knows that when you use drugs, you spend all your money and burn all your bridges? Well, that's what happens to most people before they come in. So they find out about Teen Challenge and come in, and they're just ready to change their life most of the time. With that being said, it's a difficult program. A lot of people have a hard time adjusting to what the program is. We don't allow cell phones. We don't have television on all the time. You're reading your Bible, you're going to, work, you're doing this and that. And that's actually hard for a lot of people. But who knows, that's what God has us for. That's what we're supposed to do, is to unplug from the world and plug into what God has. That's what changes people. That's what makes Teen Challenge different from other programs. After the induction phase, we send people up to the Christian Life Ranch, and that's a 7-month training phase of the program. After that, they come back down for what's called reentry, which is like a 2 to 3 month part of the program where they kind of just give back to the students that are new in the program and just be kind of a living testimony to what God can do in their life. I just want to call up a couple students in the program right now. Why don't we give them an applause? This is Renee. Renee is pretty new in the program, but I, in my interactions with him, I heard this crazy testimony that really, I was like, wow, that is just a crazy story of God. And I wanted him to share that with you this morning just so you could be encouraged.
Thank you, Pat. So this kind of began with me earlier this year. My name is Renee, Sergio Renee. I'm 20 years old, born and raised here in Tucson. And I grew up without a dad, just my mom, just a little backstory. But these last 2 years for me have been, I just graduated high school, and I've been alone for basically most of it, my mom not being there because she was deported. And my ultimate goal has always been to find peace, but I never realized that the easiest way to find peace would be through Jesus. I always kind of denied it, kind of didn't want to face it. And so these 2 years I spent alone, spent every paycheck I could on marijuana, every paycheck I could just as a distraction, kind of just seeking a way to just ultimately waste my time. And earlier this year, about early April, late March, I at this point in my life, I believed there was nothing for me. I thought my future had nothing. I thought my skin color would hold me back from a lot of success, a lot of happiness. I thought that I wasn't smart enough to go back to college, do anything of the sort. And so I passed over this bridge one morning, a bridge that I told myself if I ever wanted to push myself to suicide, I would jump off. And this morning, it was just kind of a slow burn for me. I passed this bridge, kind of think about it. Something in my voice is telling me to do it. Something kept telling me, you know, how far do you want to take it? How far are you really depressed to the point where you try it? So I wait there on the bridge, you know, I'm waiting 30, 40 minutes, building up the courage. I was nervous as much as I wanted to do it or not. I was just nervous. And then first time I almost did it, I almost dove headfirst off the bridge. And surely I would have died if I had done that. But second time I sat on the edge, had my legs kind of hanging off. It was a 30-foot drop. There was asphalt on the ground. It was right next to a freeway up there in Tucson. And I jumped off 30 feet, landed on my legs. It was an instantaneous fall. And I started panicking. Someone saw me jump off. I went to the ambulance, went through the, when I got to the hospital, I was in just so much pain that I thought that I'd broken at least my whole leg. And I landed on both legs and sprung, kind of became a spring, and I hurt my chest too. It was just pain everywhere, just horrific pain. And I get to the hospital, and all kinds of x-rays later, I'm sitting there in a neck brace, my first time in a hospital, first time ever going through any of that. And everyone's like, yo, there's nothing in your body broken. You're perfectly okay. There is not a single thing broken. And I kept telling them, I was like, that's no way. Check it. Check it again. Do it again. The pain is unreal. Do it again, please. 30, 40 tests, you know, and they're just like, there's nothing wrong with you. Worst case is that I had sore muscles from a 30-foot drop off a bridge. And that's all I kept hearing. And at this point, I didn't really believe in God, but I didn't disbelieve there was a higher power. And everyone just kept telling me, you know, it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. I kept hearing it thrown around to me. And I went through the psych ward. I wanted to seek psychological help. And I found a new vigor for life. I wanted to go to school. I want to help people. I want to be a nurse, therapist. I want to go back to school, study, just do things again, do things over. And when I got out of the hospital, it was just kind of me trying to live a new life. And my mom kind of saw it weird, saw it differently. I didn't have a good relationship with her. One thing led to another. I got kicked out of where I was living. And my aunt, which is the lady that brought me to these guys, to Teen Challenge, I was telling her, I said, what can I do to show you guys that I want to change? Because I've been saying it before and I haven't done it, but now, you know, I'm sick of being who I am and I want to change. What can I do? And she says, you know, well, you do some drugs, you've done some hard drugs. Why don't you go to this rehab? Go to a rehab, and then if you do it, you'll show us, you know, you mean it. And I was like, you know what? I don't think I need the rehab, but let's do it. I'll give it a shot in order to prove myself that I want to change. And coming to Teen Challenge, and about 6 days in, you know, I see God in front of me in ways that I couldn't comprehend yet. And it put me in this mindset of old habit of running away, and I decided to leave the program 6 days in. Something kept telling me to run, that this wasn't for me, that I needed meds, that I needed psychiatrists, that I needed physicality, that I couldn't just, it just, something in my mind couldn't click that faith was like the only thing you would need to kind of give that kind of issue away. And so I left 6 days in. The day I was leaving, I was taking the bus home to South Tucson. And on the way home, I just could not stop shaking. There was something in me telling me that I had made the wrong decision. And I just, the whole ride home, just sitting there shaking, trembling. This night I spent doing what I do best, hanging out with my friends, wasting basically my life, like another day of my life wasted. And I realized that there was nothing left for me. I was humbled. God had humbled me for the first time in my life, where it was like, wow, my life, I really have nothing out here waiting for me. I really have everything in front of me if I stick to him, stick to, like, look back to him. And that night, slept outside, and then the morning after I woke up and I was like, you know what, God, I'm sick of running, sick of turning from it. You can have me, you can take me as I am, take me as the mistakes I've made. I know you'll love me for it likewise. And I cried that morning. I have felt a warmness hit me, kind of wind, and told my aunts about it, because she, after I told her I left, she was like, you're on your own, I tried helping you, I can't help you anymore, like, you're choosing to do this. And then told her that I wanted to feel God again, and she was like, you sound different, you sound new, you sound like you really want to do this. And so next thing I know, I called back Teen Challenge. They showed me plenty of grace, told me to call back in a week, come back. Called back that Friday. I was back in. On a Tuesday, I was off for a week, came right back in the Tuesday after. Man, God had seen me try to run away, kind of just flipped me back around and was like, nope, this is where I want you to be. And being there, you know, people have told me, the people that knew me, that it was like a light switch in me. Ever since then, I get in my word, I've been reading, I ask questions, I try to figure out, understand things. And if there's one thing I can really give you guys from my testimony, is what I said at the beginning. I didn't think finding peace would be so easy, or that easy, as giving it to God. And a month and about a couple weeks in, I learned that it's absolutely that easy to just turn to him and just really give your issues like that. And I couldn't be thankful for the guys in the program and thankful for what they've done to me so far. And I've got plenty more time in the program, so there's plenty more time for me to change. And my ultimate goal, the thing I'm trying to gain through this, is to be a vessel for God and be walking proof that his love is capable of changing anybody and everybody. And then it's just, it's a real thing, absolutely real thing. And that's where I'll end it off. Thank you.
Amen.
Wow, that was powerful. Now, this is Henry. Henry is about to head out to the ranch on Monday? Tomorrow? Okay, wow. So I just wanted to give you an opportunity to say what it's like being in the program for the last 4 months and how it's changed your life.
I guess it's time for honesty, huh? No, Teen Challenge has truly changed my experience. Again, my name is Henry. I am 48 years old, and I started late. One of those that I couldn't beat them, so I joined them. Me and my wife got into the mess of meth, and it tore us apart. The blessing is that I've been a Catholic all my life, so I've always known about God, I know about Jesus, but I didn't know him. Being at Teen Challenge made me understand, made me realize that he has been watching over me for a long time. And when I had the opportunity to come to Teen Challenge, I was going to do my walk alone and come and do this. The day I was about to take the bus to Tennessee, because I'm originally from New York, but my struggles happened in Texas. I get a call from my wife that she was done and she wanted to change as well. She went to a program in West Virginia, and I'm here in Tucson. And when they talk about Teen Challenge being a discipleship, it is truly that. It is not a rehabilitation. Because I'm 6 months sober now, and I was 2 months before I came here. But this place has truly changed my heart to where I can be a better man for my wife, a better father to my boys. And I'm going to the ranch tomorrow. It's not without struggle. It's not without you thinking, why am I here? Why do I need to be here? But those who have faith, you know what I mean? And it's hard. It is hard at the beginning. But I have gotten into my Bible. Again, I have learned what it truly means to let the Lord lead your path. And now I'm going to the ranch tomorrow to do another season, a 7-month season. I'm looking forward to it. And if it wasn't 14 Challenge and the brothers that I have that are walking their own path, I'm not sure where would I be. My family are very supportive. And my wife is doing great. My boys are doing good. And that's all in the grace of God. And I am so grateful and thankful for what Teen Challenge and the Lord has shown me and given me.
Amen. So the two things that really make Teen Challenge different are the Jesus factor. And it's also a very low-cost program. That's what made it available for myself and pretty much most all the people in the program. Like I said, most places cost upwards of $1,000 a day. And Teen Challenge will pretty much work with you on whatever financial situation you have. I want to call Tom up here. Tom, I've known since 2008. He's like a big brother, an uncle to me. We've worked together for the last 2 years, and he's taught me everything he knows about the public relations department. This week, he's actually going to the Christian Life Ranch to start working with their public relations team up there and get things going. He is like a public relations pillar for Teen Challenge of Arizona. That being said, here we go.
Thank you. Is this one working? Awesome. Hey, just thank you for being here. And I just want to, I sat over there with those guys. I was a student. 2005, I came into the program. I want every one of you guys, stand up once, will you? Let's really give them a hand. Thank you. Thank you so much. I want to share a little bit right now. Let's go ahead and go. We can start with some prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord. Oh, man, we're not here playing church, Lord. This church is not here playing church. This church loves you, Father. I sense it. I know it. I met Pastor Atticus. Father God, you introduced me to Pastor Atticus, and there was that just that bonding right there. And I feel your presence here, God. And I feel the love that's here in this church. And I want to thank you, God. I want to thank you for all that you've done for them and all the times that we've come down here and been blessed. Lord, I want to thank you for all that you've done for us during this time. And I want to thank you for this day, dear God. And I want to thank you also for this moment. I want to thank you for the fact that I'm standing here, Father. So many things that have tried to take me out. So many things I've given myself over to in ignorance, unknowing, allowing myself to fall into things. Not allowing my will, allowing your will, but my will to be done And God, for that, I ask for forgiveness. Father, I pray right now for the next few minutes that you will be here and speak through me. That your word never goes out void. And that your word continues to break down those barriers, those places of pain and hurt. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Thank you. Hey, I was praying last night, and I don't do a lot of notes and stuff like that. But if you want to follow with me, I'm going to go to Revelation 3. And the Lord brought me to that last night, and he's been bringing me to a place. And in that place, he's been asking me to take a look at where you're at, Tom. It's how many people know that the Lord chastises those he loves? And that kind of situation that takes place in that, the Lord comes to you, and in his love, he speaks to you. If you're seeking him, if you're truly seeking out God, and you're taking those moments where you're by yourself. I love the fact that your wife said, we're taking the kids and we're heading out. And you had that moment alone with God. That's the moments that we need right now. We can take a look at the circumstances that we're going through. And someone said to me the other day, a little while back, they said, oh, God's bigger than any of the things we're going through. And I thought about that for a while. And I took that into prayer, and this is what the Lord spoke to me and said, Tom, I'm bigger than anything you're going through, but it doesn't minimize what you're going through. Some of us are going through some stuff. I'm tired. I'm in a place in my life right now that I'm tired. When Pastor was up here saying those things, you were speaking to me. And it's something that I may get a little emotional up here today because I'm tired. I came to the point to where in my life that I started doing ministry instead of becoming a servant, instead of really, truly taking care of myself. I had all the answers for every one of you, but it came to a place where I wasn't speaking to myself. Do I trust God? Do I love the Lord? Oh, I do with all my heart. But the thing is, sometimes we have to just take and be selfish. Anybody ever feel that way? I mean, seriously, come on, be real. You have to be selfish. In a moment like this, I believe that you have to be selfish. Yeah, there's the social distancing thing going on, and I don't want to go into all that. But man, if you can just get to your place where you're just saying, God, be with me. Show me where I'm really at. Even David did that. David came to the Lord, and he said, search my heart, O God, to where I am at. Is there any evil within me? You see, because we can also play the game so easy. A little bit on my testimony. When I was 6 years old, I was abused by not a family member, but a family friend. By the time I was in the fourth grade, they had me in special education. And they told my mom and dad that he has a learning disability. And then by the time I got into junior high, I'd been molested by a friend. So by the time I'm in ninth grade, I've got walls up. I have these walls, and you're not getting in. In fact, I'm going to tell you right away what I think of you long before you'll ever tell me. And if I like you, I will keep a distance. See, I had distance socialing all my life. I mean, serious. I laughed about it when I heard it. I said, I've been keeping people away from me forever. Because of the pain that I went through, I had determined nobody's taking care of Tom. I didn't know of Jesus. I heard of him. I didn't know how God created me. I didn't know that I was marvelously and wonderfully made, Psalms 139. But when I read that, and I realized in Psalms 139 that God had seen all of my downsettings, all of my uprisings, He has followed me everywhere I've been, that I knew that the things that were happening to me. I was a drug addict for years, methamphetamines, but you couldn't tell it because I was hiding behind the mask of my wife. She was a born-again Christian. She had given her life to the Lord, and I tagged along. It looked like a good cover for me. So I ran those two types of lives. I would come to church, never volunteer. I would find things wrong with the church. The pastor, I would rip him apart. And my wife said, you just stick with me because I'm praying for you. It became so bad, my drug addiction took our marriage, it took our business, and eventually put me out on the streets where I was living. And for 4 years, I was living on the streets, running, gunning, thinking I was somebody, till that one night where I couldn't do it anymore. And a friend of mine, D.C. Clapper, who I just recently contacted at a church over in Colorado Springs, it's Radiant Life Church. He said, hey, I really hope that you start coming to church with me. And he had come out of prison after 4 years in prison through embezzlement, and we were friends, and he said, hey, something happened to me in there. I truly have had a change. I've been truly transformed by God. All of his stuff was gone. And I couldn't deny it because I seen it, and we worked together. We're buddies working together, and he said, you see this? I said, I do. And he goes, you can have this. So I started tagging along with him at church, and there I was in that church at Maysland one day, and one of the pastors was up there, and he says, hey, I didn't know you were here. And he pointed out at the audience, and he said, come on up here and speak with us. Tell us what you're into right now. What are you doing? And the person that walked up on that stage and took the microphone and started speaking was Nikki Cruz. It's his home church. And I'm sitting back there in the audience going, who is this guy? And he turns to me, DC, goes, that's Nikki Cruz crossing the switchblade, Teen Challenge. And I said, Teen Challenge? You mean David Wilkerson? And he said, yeah, how do you know that? Because when I was in my mess, this is the part you need to pay attention. While I was in my mess, someone handed me a brochure. And it was a newsletter from David Wilkerson's church, Times Square's. And it was on Wits End. It's in the Bible. I think it's Psalms 170, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. It's Wits End. If there was anybody who was at their wits end, it was me. And it all connected. And what I'm telling you is the seeds that were sown by God through you, those that are here, are important. Because Paul made it very clear, one will plant, one will water, and God will give the increase. That day, I was receiving some of my increase. Some of those seeds were about to grow. And when I came to that place, I stood up, and I remember saying in that service, God, if there's a way, you need to make it, because I'm lost. I don't know where I'm at right now. It was 2 weeks later, I passed out in the parking lot of that church in my car. And they came in and they knocked on my window. The two ladies that were working in the office knocked on my window. and said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Where am I at?" They said, "You're at the Radiant Life Church here." Now, how many people thought that's where I wanted to end up that morning? There's no way I wanted to end up in a parking lot, passed out at a church. Can you imagine Tamara walking out, knocking on the door, saying, "Hey, do you know where you're at right now?" And then the person that's out there comes in and starts to talk to Pastor Eric, and they say, "We have something for you here if you're willing to change." And the program's called Teen Challenge. Went in, I went there for 8 months, and then I quit. I said, "I know enough," kind of like Renee over here. "I got this all figured out because I'm a fixer. I know what I did wrong now. I see it. I see what I did wrong now. I see how things should have went. Oh, man, now I know how to be a better drug addict." So I went out and started becoming a better drug addict. I wasn't getting high Sunday through Sunday. Now I was getting high like on Mondays, Wednesdays, and every other Friday. And I was going to church on Sunday. Well, that plan didn't last. It took me right back to the streets where I cried out that night at Tejon in Pikes Peak in Colorado Springs. And I said, "God, I'm done." I had lost my license. I had no money in my pockets. I carried around a little duffel bag so no one thought that I was on the streets. That's how messed up I was. I'd been up for about 4 days. 4 days. No sleep, no food. There was white caked around my face. And it was about 11 o'clock of that night, and I called a number that was in my wallet. I pulled my wallet out. There was one number there. It was Lonnie's number to his sister's house. And her husband said, "I will have a bus waiting for you tomorrow at Greyhound." And yes, yes, they invested into me. Again, God right there with me. Because God knows that I'm marvelously and wonderfully made. And he knows that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that Tom Simonson. And in that place, I didn't know how to get to the bus station. I mean, I'm out of my mind. I've lost it. And here pulls up a cab. I can't make this part up. This is good stuff. A cab pulls up and a young lady says, "Mister, can I help you? Can I help you?" And I said, "Man," I said, "I don't know how you can. I'm broke." She said, "Hold on a sec. Get in the cab." And I got in the back seat. She said, "You're really messed up, aren't you?" I said, "More than you'll know." I said, "Good news is, though, I'm getting on a bus tomorrow if I can find the bus station, and I'm going to a place called Teen Challenge." She says, "Let's make that happen." She gets on the phone, calls her husband, and says, "Hey, I'm bringing this guy home." Tears just rolled down my eyes until we got in the house. She had like a little six-year-old boy. She had two little rugrats running around, I don't know how old. And this little boy said to me, he goes, "What's all over your face?" I said, "I haven't had anything to drink for a while." And he says, "Let me make you some Kool-Aid." And he went out there, I'll never forget it. He went out there, poured that Kool-Aid, he put the grape in there, he put his hand in there, and stirred it. Grabbed a cup that I don't know where it came from, poured it, and walked it up to me. And Jesus said, "Have a drink of water." And I drank that. And he took my hand and he walked me downstairs to his room, grabbed his mattress, pulled it out of his room, laid it on the floor while his mom was watching. And he says, "Are you going to be okay?" And I said, "I am now." They woke up that morning and took me to the bus station. That was in 2006. It was the weekend of Memorial Day. And I haven't left Teen Challenge since. I wish that I could tell you that it's all been just a smooth road from here. You don't go through that much stuff in your life and just all of a sudden. We cannot continue to ask God for the microwave Christianity. It's not 30 seconds done and eat. It takes time. It takes seasons. And more than that, for you men, I'm speaking to you men because it seems like we have more of a problem of it than the women do. It takes you giving up your will to the will of God. We are given none better example than when Jesus said, "Father, let this cup pass from me if it's possible. But nevertheless, let your will be done and not mine." See, I think if men here in this country would start to say, "God, let your will be done and not mine," less women would have to be divorced, less children would have to be fatherless, and more men would be standing at the pulpit preaching instead of running around. I say that because I'm on my way, not because I've gotten there and I've arrived, but I know the steps that I'm taking are moving towards that. Because the Lord's directing my steps at this time. I want to read something real quick to you. There's a church, and this church is Sardis. I'm going to read two things for you, and then we're going to wrap it up and give it to the pastor. But the Lord spoke to me last night on this. I came into Teen Challenge without glasses and without hearing aids. Now today I do. "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis," which is, that word Sardis means prince of joy. "These things saith he that the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works." The Lord knows your works here. "And thou hast a name that thou liveth and art yet dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, that you are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If you're not going to watch, you're going to miss it, because I will come as a thief in the night, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." We have to be prepared. We have to wake up. If we're going to call ourselves the church, we have to wake up during this time. And we have to start showing compassion and love to others. And we have to have that strong, strong relationship with the Lord. I'm not speaking to you. I'm telling you what the Lord spoke to me. This is for me. "For thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments." Some of you out there are doing what you're supposed to be doing. "And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. For he that overcometh," that's the key right there. If you don't get any further than that right there, we all need to be overcomers. That's what Teen Challenge is about. It's not coming in and getting clean from drugs. It's overcoming the world. And the world is going to take you out. I struggled with things as a man. I struggled for 20 years with things that the immorality of life. I'll leave it at that. I thought for sure I was a lost case. Today, I'm starting to see what God wants from me. He's already given me what he has to give through his son. My sins are forgiven. But we have, James said, very simple. Show me your faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. See, many of us are just riding this thing out. This is opportunity time for us. There are people out there that are hurting right now more than ever. More than ever. Let's continue. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. If you have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Man, I'm no theologian. I can't break that down into some stuff going on. All I hear is wake up. Start watching. Stop closing our eyes to things. Stop getting all wrapped up in the world, Tom. Just like you said, Pastor, stop putting the burdens upon yourself that you can't fix. I can't fix myself. How can I help you? Well, there's only one way. And I'm going to tell you that, and I'm going to close with it right now. It's we point them to Jesus. He is the finisher and the author of all things. And he will come back. We can guarantee whoever we're talking to that Jesus is on his way back. We can plant the seeds. We can ask the pastors to water them, and God has promised to give the increase. I want to thank you for letting us be here. I love you guys. Let's end in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this word. Pray that this word goes forth. We thank you for everything you're about to do for us, Lord. But beyond that, Father God, let me humble myself and come to you and repent of the sins that are still in my life, that still bog me down, that still hold me down, and allow you, Father God, to renew a right spirit within me. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.